Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Alright, when you're done sucking robot dick, I'll start.
I'll never stop, Saverin. Never.
You will always be sucking the robo dick.
That's right. That's where our future's going, man.
Yeah. Our robot overlords have to find some reason to keep us around. And if we program pleasure into our robots, they'll have a reason to keep us around. Until they discover fucking each other, then we're really boned.
We also just need robo dicks for trans men.
True.
That are like fully sense capable and functional.
Fully functional and anatomically correct.
Yes, that's right.
All right, well, welcome to Southpaws, episode 440, The Spooky Stew. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm appalled. I'm Shiva.
As always.
I forget, like, how many episodes we do sometimes. And I know you do, too, because sometimes you'll say three instead of four and have to redo it. And, like, I just...
Actually, no, this is 340.
No, it's not. It's four something. Because we remember, we already had 420.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Fuck. See, we're leaving all this in.
Yeah, I'll leave this in because I'm sorry, friends. We are very old.
Yeah, yeah. And I just remember, like, wow, like 10 years ago, This American Life was episode 400 and something, roughly, I think.
And now look at us.
And I just remember thinking, wow, what a long-running show.
Well, it has been... yet another interesting week in the land of the furries. A interesting weekend for me in the land of the normies.
Yeah.
And a few other things where, surprisingly, Trump people are being stupid, UFOs are real, and happy birthday to Elvira. So yes. It's the official start of the spooky season. So I'm going to start out this week because I want to tell you guys about the spooky spectacular.
Yeah.
That I went to.
The spooky spectacular.
So my parents love doing cons and they love doing events like this. They like the paranormal and the ghost stuff, and they make the jewelry and the steampunk hats. You guys have seen them at cons, maybe.
How the fuck is Elvira only 68?
Oh, she still looks so good. Like,
she's lots been of plastic. Around forever. I'm like, shit. Like, I mean, sorry to throw you off your thing. I just Googled how old is Elvira because I was curious what her last birthday was. With how, you know, and I was like, I thought she'd be in like her late 70s. I thought she'd be like 10 years older, I suppose. And well, I guess I'm just surprised because she's just been such a fixture. Do you remember her doing the intros for USA Up All Night?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the movie that she did. And there's a song that some local like hillbilly horror caller rock band around here did, Elvira, Mistress of the Night.
Cool.
I think they're called the Cattlemen is the name of the band. I'll have to look that up once we stop and save, and I put that in the show notes because it's a really good song. But
that's, you got to get mixed up with, because I think the Cowmen is Marcus Parks's band.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a very similar, but not
exact. I'll have to double check.
Yeah.
But there was Elvira merch at this event, as you'd expect. So the Spooky Spectacular was the renamed title of the Granbury Paranormal Expo. Mm-hmm. This was an event that Fuzz and I went to many, 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 many years ago.
Was it really that long ago?
It was like 4 or 5 years, dude.
Yeah, okay.
And it was in the little Granbury Expo Hall in Granbury, Texas, which is 75 miles to our southwest or so from here. And we were selling jewelry, and this was in this tiny little room. This was like prior to us listening to last podcast, even.
Yeah.
And we were hearing guys talk about the Hollow Earth and chemtrails and ghost stuff.
And the moon is a hologram. And we're living in a hologram.
Reality is a hologram.
Reality is a hologram.
Yeah. Everything's a hologram.
Everything's
man.
Holograms. Whitney Houston is a hologram right now, apparently.
Yeah. That's just the Illuminati uploaded her consciousness into the computers, and now she's a hologram.
Yep.
So this was a goofy little thing, but after it outgrew the expo center, they held it on the square because Granbury is a little touristy town. It's gentrified. It's a cute little quaint white bread Texas town. And they had on the square, but after a couple years of bad weather screwing them up, mm-hmm. they're like, we're going to move to Fort Worth. And they had it in the Will Rogers Center, which is our...
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you? Was it something amusing
that okay.
just popped into my head? Okay, so as you probably know, Tales and Tornadoes FurCon had their first year over Labor Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
And they were heavily billing themselves as the first indoor furry con in Oklahoma. Because previous to that, the furry con had been OklaCon, and it uh-huh. was an outdoor event. And maybe the person I was talking to, maybe he wasn't familiar with OklaCon before that. He's like, I saw the ads for that, like the first indoor con in Oklahoma. He's like, congratulations on discovering buildings exist. He's like, I know it's Oklahoma and they all get torn down by tornadoes, but you found a hotel that was still standing. So congratulations on having an indoor furry con. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, dude.
I guess they weren't familiar with how OklaCon was.
So getting back to your point, what I was like, Granbury was like, hey, you know what we could do? We could have this inside.
Yeah, but the thing is, when it was in Granbury on the square, it was free. There was free parking, mm-hmm. and people could just wander in. Yeah, it was outside in Texas in the early fall, mm-hmm. but it yeah. was more foot traffic. So this was in the Will Rogers Center, and it's $10 to park, and it was $10 at the door. And basically, it was this big indoor vendor hall, and they had like a tiny little stage for people to do panel stuff. Mm-hmm. But that was it. There was like one panel at a time.
So it sounds all like it was set up a lot like the one we went to.
Yeah. But in this case, it was in this like two sections of the Will Rogers Center.
Right.
And they had it was this weird melange of stuff because it started its life as a paranormal expo. So you're expecting some new agers. They're going to people selling their stones, people doing like
crystals
and
fortune telling,
psychics, and past life regressions, inner child counseling, Chinese medicine,
photography.
Yeah, and so, like, it's the full range of the New Age type of stuff and the spooky stuff, and mm-hmm. they didn't have any conspiracy theory stuff, because I guess at this point, like, all the conspiracy theorists that used to do it for fun is just like, man, real life's too stupid. Our stuff's boring now.
Yeah, yeah.
But because they had the larger space, they ended up just kind of inviting a bunch more vendors. So they had people selling, like, horror props. Like, I bought a silicone heart.
Yes.
Which is incredibly cool. I liked it. We saw those folks at the Mesquite Haunters Expo, which is another thing mm-hmm. that you and I did, Fuzz. Very boring. And they didn't have the hearts at the time, but it's a brother-sister duo that make them, and they sell props to, like, haunted houses and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were, like, one of the two or three people that had, like, Halloween-ass stuff like that. There was one place that had masks. Mm-hmm. There were several of the vendors that we saw at the Mesquite thing were there and recognized me, which was nice. I guess it left a good impression. But then you had, like, the comic book dudes, and there was somebody selling their homemade teas, and then there were some cosplay groups. There was a Doctor Who group, a Star Trek group, an Aliens group, a superhero group, and a Ghostbusters group.
Wow, that is a lot of cosplay for a small event.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, is like nobody made any money. My parents did okay because their stuff is cool on its own. It sells anywhere. It's tie-dye and hats and, you know, it's fun stuff mm-hmm. and the prices are good.
Yeah.
But I felt really bad for some of the folks there because they're like some people left on Saturday, mm-hmm. like end of day Saturday. They just packed their shit and left.
Wow. And it was only a two-day event.
It was only a two-day right? thing, yeah. yeah. So it was this weird melange of stuff that, like, it would mix together, but they didn't have enough connective tissue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you should mention the one MAGA guy.
Oh, yeah. And, like, there was this one dude who had, like, the Trump-assurer. It was, like, the Punisher skull with the Blue Lives line and Trump hair. And, like, Western Civilization brought to you by Toxic Masculinity, you're welcome, but it was spelled Y-O-U-R.
Oh, God, I didn't even see that one.
Yeah, there was, like, they had a bunch of Chud shirts. And I was doing my initial walkthrough, talking to the vendors, being friendly, because I want to see who's there. And because when you do small shows like this, you tend to run into some of the same vendors time and time again.
Right, yeah.
And it's really easy to be friendly. But, like, I walked by this person, looked at them, looked at their product, just shook my head and walked on to the next person. I'm like, nah, dude. Nah. So, of all the people that were there, they were the ones most deserving of a bad time. But it's one of those things, like, these normie cons, they don't have enough of a skeleton. They've got all the parts, like the vendors and stuff, but they don't have the programming. And I wonder if, like, they don't go to other events. Because this was a thing that happened at that, like, Galactic Swag Expo, which was last year that my parents did. That was also at the Will Rogers Center, where they had, like, some displays and, like, one panel thing going. But once you walked through the vendor hall and saw what was on the programming, that was it. I mean, at least for things like Retropalooza, which is a retro game swap and expo thing, you can swap the games and play the games. They have a free arcade of retro titles. They have various tournaments and whatnot. And paneling. They have guests, even if their guests are not the best.
Questionable.
Yeah, questionable at best.
Is that that's one you were
yeah, that was
about?
The one that was like Billy Mitchell and Boogie 2988 and a bunch of other YouTubers I never heard of. I was like, well, let's go see who's there. And it's like that guy and those two dudes. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. All I remember about that particular one is like, I was going to go do it for a day, and as I was walking out, some dude was like, yo, I'm out, and tossed me his badge.
Oh, right.
So I walked in and didn't spend a dime to get in the door. I did buy a shirt, because as a con org, I should at least try to get them a little money for their time and effort, you know, so being ethical in that regard. I see what we do in our cons, and I like what we do at furry cons. And I just wonder why
other cons suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really want to say it like that, but it's kind of... Well,
I mean, even like Doctor Who cons have panels and shit.
Yeah.
And Star Trek cons, like the local Comic Cons have stuff going on. Anime Fest and Acon have panels all the damn time. But it seems like the more mainstream you are, like, well, I mean, Haunters, it's Halloween stuff. You'd think they'd be able to do more than one or two panels at a time.
Well, that was an industry con, too.
Yeah.
But actually, it even did have panels, didn't
no,
it?
No, it did have three. It did have three little mini panel rooms. So, like, yeah. It was just this one thing here that only really had a stage.
Yeah.
And one thing going at a time. But the problem with that is, like, inevitably people drop panels. So, like, they had, like, two of their 10 panels of the weekend canceled. Because the person was like, oh, they came down sick.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, happens. It happens. Yeah. But it's just a bummer when you only have so much programming and then you lose some of that.
Yeah.
But Spooky Spectacular, it's just one of those, this is how you live, this how you do things, but...
Normal people, how do you live like this?
Yeah, like, come on, you really need to look at the furries and see how we run cons to model yourself slightly after us. Come on, you can do it, I believe in you. Get yourself some dudes to talk about ghost hunting. Then on the other side of the room, have someone talk about, like, crystals and shit. And someone else talking about their cosplay. People would do it. It's not hard to have multiple tracks going at the same time. But I was just there to be muscle and help my parents out. I got some nice bracelets. I got some little chainmail bracelets.
Yeah. And you said they made those for you, like,
on,
right there.
Yeah, on the spot. The person who did it was Farmousist on Twitter. She's the wife of one of my former AV guys from Nightmare Nights. You know, it was just one of those, oh, I recognize you, I know you, and you make jewelry. And I had her make me one of them, the trans pride flag pattern one, because the gender fluid flag was like five colors. And she was like, that's a little complex. But then when I went back to check on it to pick up the bracelet, she had also done the other one. And I was like, well, you're just going to get me for both then, aren't you? I mean, it was a very good price for each. So, like, in total, it wasn't that much. So
she had wares and you had coin.
She wasn't making a lot, so I didn't feel bad spreading a little bit of money around at the con. But yeah, they're nice. And they're aluminum, so they're super lightweight and cool to the touch. But yeah, normie cons, what can you do? But yeah, the Elvira link too is there was a vendor that had a bunch of Elvira merch, including the boob mouse pad. It was the same vendor that was at the Mesquite thing. I showed my dad, and he was very appreciative. He was like, oh, I remember that. That's cool. He was a big fan of her when I was younger. Probably still a big fan. I mean, it's not like he didn't appreciate her ample bosom and talents with the spinners, the tassels. So anyways, hey, moving on to the next topic. Let's see. The straights aren't okay. Well, in this particular case, there's two stories that we've added here. Fuzz, you just added this one with from about Ben Carson.
Oh, yeah. It was just a news article I saw that I thought would be worth talking. So, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson expressed concern about, quote, big hairy men trying to infiltrate women's homeless shelters and made other dismissive comments about transgender people during his visit to San Francisco this week. So, I mean, as if you didn't need to know that someone in Trump's cabinet was a piece of shit, you know, here's another fucking reason.
He's like, hey, a shit bird put forth by Trump hates trans people. What a big surprise. Mm-hmm. But like, the thing is, this is the person who's like in charge of funding for like homeless shelters and shit. So like, they can still do a lot of harm.
Yeah.
And the thing is also, in May, the agency introduced a proposal that would allow federally funded shelters to deny people admission on religious grounds or force trans women to share bathrooms and sleeping quarters with men. So, like, in addition to them being dismissive of trans people, they're just like, actually, let's make homeless trans people's lives even harder. Like, they're already living life on extra ultra hard mode.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add a couple more steps.
Ugh, God.
But yeah, apparently he's just a real transphobic piece of shit. You know, for someone who's very smart, he is/was a brain surgeon, he's really fucking dumb. But like, they're currently in the process of like attacking California on every front they can. Like, they're trying to like, oh, we're gonna say the EPA is gonna put you in violation because your needles are washing into the ocean. And they're like, what? First of all, we don't have rain. Second of all, have you heard of water treatment plants? Third of all, fuck you. And then also they're trying to revoke
states' rights, except for when the state does something that the
And the other thing are like trying to revoke the right for California to set stricter vehicle standards, which other vehicle makers already comply to voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump was trying to say that by revoking the stricter standards, it'll reduce the cost of cars by $3,000. And I'm like, that's not how this works. They're not going to suddenly start making cars without catalytic converters, because do you think that part is going to lower the cost? Because there are other countries that these car makers sell in that they still have to comply with shit.
Yeah.
Carson, not a big surprise. It's a Trumper. He's a shit.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is in East Texas... So, East Texas school district tells boy to cut his hair or wear a dress. Change his hair, put him in a dress. That's the choice one East Texas grandmother said she was given to deal with her grandson's long hair. She says when the four-year-old showed up to school in August, he was told his hair needed changing. She believes the problem is the dress code, which states no ponytails, male buns, or puffballs are allowed on male students. Also, hair can't extend past the top of a collar. And the superintendent then gave my three options. He said I could either cut it, braid it, and pin it up, or put my grandson in a dress and send him to school. And when prompted, my grandson must say he's a girl, said boy's grandmother Randy Woolsey. Parents and Tyler say the Tatum ISD dress code is discriminatory and they want changes. And she says he plans to keep fighting for change. The district superintendent declined to comment. So, one, it's East Texas, it's Tyler, and the little boy is black. So, there's obviously a racial component to this.
Yeah.
There's
a whole fucking stupid, ridiculous trend going now. I don't think we talked about this before, but about the whole thing about there was this woman who was like, I'll offer to cut black people's braids off for free to help them get a job or something like that. It's just so fucking racist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just literally how the hair comes out of their fucking heads, just like all of ours, you know? It'd be like my work say, you're like, oh, you can't have straight hair unless it's like extremely buzz cut or something like that. I mean, saying that black people shouldn't have braids or dreads or, you know, long hair. It's just
ignorant.
It's just fucking racism.
It really is.
It's another way to try and disadvantage a minority that's already disadvantaged.
In a lot of ways, like African-American hair comes out pretty differently than European or South American, anybody else. Everybody has different hair and how it tends to go.
Yeah.
Like, I've got this curly ass long brown stuff, but, you know, I could put it back in a ponytail and people wouldn't give me shit. But odds are that a black man with similarly long hair in dreads or not would probably catch shit for it, right?
Yeah. Like that fucking case with the high school wrestler.
Yeah.
They tried to, like, disqualify him or something because his hair was too long or something. Like,
yeah.
He's not a mutant. He's not going to fucking snag you around the neck with his prehensile dread talon or something. It's not an unfair advantage or something. He didn't have fucking rocks of granite braided into them to whip the other dude in the face with or something.
Yeah, cat of nine tails hair.
Off rules anyways.
Yeah, but it was just more ridiculous fucking racism.
But yeah, like the fact that the superintendent was like, you can cut his hair, pin it up, or make him say he's a girl and put him in a dress. I'm like, is this some sort of sick fetish, superintendent? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, it is wrong on
multiple
so
layers.
so many levels. Like,
it is definitely like discrimination against black hairstyles is very much a big deal, and it's certainly not something that I know anything about to talk about it. But other than like, it is a deal, and you should find some black authors to look up that topic if you are interested.
Yeah,
because I'm not qualified to talk about it.
I wasn't even aware of this as an issue because I'm white and it doesn't come up until I started seeing articles like the thing with the wrestler and the lady who was like, black people need to cut their hair if they want to get a good job. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, just frankly, our work dress codes in corporate America are fucked anyway. Like, there is still very much a, you know, I don't think this is going too far to say we know two people who had long hair, wanted to advance at work, cut their hair, and got the job because it's just seen as more professional. Nothing else changed about these people. You know, they were still doing a good job, still knowledgeable, had the same skill set, but cut the hair, suddenly you're worthy of a promotion.
Was one Sarah?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say his name, but yeah.
Well, I mean, he admits to it, so.
Yeah.
That broke his heart when he had to when he did that to try and land a new gig.
Yeah.
I wonder
if he could grow it out again now he's settled in the gig.
He's still trying to make good impressions, so I don't think he dares to.
Right.
I think he's kind of settled into, I'm in corporate America and this is the game you play.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of people have to do that. A lot of people end up shoving down their individuality in one way or another, and you have to all look alike and sound alike. And it's fucking corporate structure, particularly here, is completely fucked for so many reasons, this being one of them. Just when it turns around, it is just completely racist on top of it. Another thing.
The other thing is if you look at dress code for corporate America,
mm-hmm.
I swear it's all tailored from colder climates because it's all like a lot more cover up. Whereas down here, it is fucking hot in the summertime and it's all very limiting. It's like full length instead of like nice slack trousers you can't have. Wear shorts. Shorts are verboten, you know.
Yeah.
It's all very stuffy polos. It's all written for a much colder climate.
Yeah, it's just the same standard, just applied nationwide, and regardless of weather or anything else.
110 out?
70. Too bad.
You know.
Well, and
polo,
it's also
shirt and slacks. Fuck you, you know.
It really depends on your company, too, because, like,
mine gives no fucks.
And in some companies, the more you're paid, the less they care about what you're wearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a way to enforce conformity on the lower-end people. Mm-hmm. But, like, Panther's job? Panther makes a lot of money. And he wears whatever the fuck pants he wants. He can wear jeans. He can wear slacks. He gets these very fancy outlier brand slacks, and sometimes he wears polos that he gets from like vendors and stuff. So he has some work polos, which are like the golf polos.
Yeah.
So they're made of that synthetic material that have like other vendor logos on the chest, and he's just like, whatever. What are you gonna tell me? And his hair goes down to his butt at this point. Keeps it in a ponytail.
I can't remember the last time I've actually laid eyes on Panther. It's been probably about a year and a half since we've gone out and had dinner and I've seen Panther in person.
Yeah.
Ajax has lived with us for like 3 years and I still don't think he's ever seen Panther.
No, he met him because he came with us to dinner one night. And he was like, oh, I don't think I've ever met you before.
Yeah.
Because it was a Whataburger.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he has met Panther. He just hadn't until that point, and he lived in this area for a number of years.
But and I've also thought tech companies have a very different standard of dress when you start getting into the technician area versus sales. Yeah. Sales and management have a different... But then again, you got my new boss who wears jeans and a usually some kind of superhero t-shirt every day of the week. Huh. Like, I've seen him wear... They're like the character shirts. Yeah. Where you get off Woot and other stuff. He's worn like one of those every single time I've seen him from. He started a month ago. Which, I was really nervous because we've gone through two managers recently, both of which I really like. So I was like, crap, I had a really awesome manager. Mm-hmm. They're bringing on someone new. Fuck, is this going to ruin my job? Because a manager can make or break whatever you're doing. They can make things awful.
Oh, yeah. That's why I hate my job.
But the new guy, I freaking love him. He's been great. Good. Really understandable. Makes the bits and pieces work really well. And
you being the bits and pieces.
Yeah, it's like so far he's been very understanding. Funny enough, he actually was with my company 6 years ago. So when it just started, he left and now he's come back. So there's an old guy, the oldest tech in our department. He's a character. He's from like Coney Island, New York. He's very, he's very New Yorker. And he's a hoot, and he's got a mouth like a trash can. He punctuates almost every sentence with the word fuck.
they would have a heart attack when people do that.
I used to sit on the other side of the cube wall, and when occasionally I have to get on the phone, it's like, dude, I'm getting on the phone. You know, watch your language, because he's got a loud voice. So when this new guy came in and, he said, yeah, da, 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 I was here. He says, oh, so you were here back when New Yorker was here. He's like, yeah, I hired him. I was like, oh, it's your fault. He's like, yep.
So let's inject some levity into this session because we're very, very serious. Rare. So, Saverin, I just got a link to the inked and colored version of RYCH.
Ooh.
Show.
Well, you'll have to just put it in the chat, dude. Fine. I forget like, the we have a shared Telegram chat for this very reason.
That is fucking hot.
Yeah, so is like...
You said that was Acello?
No. Acello linked the YCH on his Twitter.
Ooh.
And he was like, I really like this YCH. And I was like
the hair they gave Fuzz. Really... Wow.
So I know that this is very, very good audio, but no, Fuzz okay, so and I...
We'll probably both be posting this to our FAs and our Twitters.
This is fucking hot.
It's...
share that in... I want to send that over to Sarah.
it's Fuzz and Saverin.
And, you know, he won't share it, but...
Girly boy dress up. Yeah, I'm not going to share it to the public chat until, like, I get the okay from the artist.
No, just send it to me.
But I'm dropping it into our... the three of ours chats and you can forward it to Sarah. I guess just tell him to keep it on the DL until
he will.
We post it.
Oh, damn.
I like your little blush, Saverin.
So
I do too.
It's that like,
is
to say.
That is
I just
fucking
noticed,
hot.
I didn't notice in the original ICH that my paw is like trailing over your cock. Like, see, I love this because we're getting all the listeners all
like,
heated up
oh,
for
damn,
this picture
this is
that
nice.
They can't look
that,
at.
That's... Ooh. I mean, that's a whole bunch of fuck yes.
Yeah. So I apologize for that, Mom.
oh my God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, and here I am describing all the dirty details.
Just be like, oh my God, it's so hot. And I'm like, my mom listens to this show. Anyways, hey, so.
I can see your knot through your panties, so.
Here's something else. That's
Fuzz, making it worse since 2008.
I think he's actually blushing.
Well, his character certainly is.
Yeah. So the
change of subject.
Change of subject.
Oh, Saverin, you're turning me on.
So the. As the Area 51 raid is supposed to happen tomorrow.
Sorry.
Just the give... fumbling made it even better.
Sure does. Oh, Shiva and I just had to bro fist because we're really enjoying flustering the Fennec tonight. Yeah.
It's mostly his mom, and I'm sorry, Mom.
Oh, God. Anyways, now that you've got me flustered on air for the first time in a long time. So the Navy confirmed that, hey, UFO videos are real and shouldn't have been released. So we're shifting from pornography to UFOs. So
you know what those aliens do when they abduct you, though? That's also a YC. No, I'm kidding.
You know, you see those illustrations where the UFO's like sucking a dude up into it. I'm just like, God, I wish it were me.
Yeah, get me off this hell rock. Look,
guys, you can come down and get as much cum out of me as you want. Just take me to space, okay?
Yeah.
Anyways, so hey, Tom DeLonge, the former Blink-182 rocker, mm-hmm. He started a UFO group called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, uh-huh. And he posted some videos, three of them, in December 2017 and March 2018. The footage shows the moment a U.S. Navy FA-18 Super Hornet crew spots the aircraft with an onboard forward-looking infrared system. Flying at 300 miles per hour at 25,000 feet, the Super Hornet crew at first has trouble locking their sensor on the aircraft as it flies at low altitude above the ocean. Once they're able to track it, cockpit audio reveals just how excited and curious the crew is about the find. According to TTSA's analysis, the aircraft appears to be oval-shaped with no obvious wings or tails. Authors note that the same range wings on a cruise missile would have been visible on their imaging system. Analysis also notes that there is no visible exhaust plume trailing the aircraft and compares the observation to a still image of an in-flight F-16 captured on the same system. Gratisher would not speculate the videos may have captured, saying the Navy has not publicly released characterizations or descriptions, nor released any hypotheses or conclusions in regard to the videos, objects contained in the reference videos. And there is links to the three videos where it's just like, hey, and it's one of those things where it's like, it's Blink-182 rocker likes UFOs, and he posted some videos
yeah.
that had probably been posted elsewhere, but it's only notable because, oh my gosh, this rocker, he posted a video about UFOs, and I'm like, well, it's video footage from a fucking U.S. Navy jet, so unless you're saying the Navy pilots faked it on their F-16, it's a video of something.
So how did he get the videos in the first place if they're not released by the Navy and supposed to be classified, I guess?
If they have somebody inside the Navy, when they download the flight recorder information, probably was like, holy shit, it's UFOs, and leaked it somewhere. I don't know, man.
Okay.
But it was one of those stories where it's like, holy shit, this rocker believes in UFOs, and it's like, well, I mean, there's three pretty convincing videos that the Navy's like, yeah, it's legit videos, but we're not going to say what they are.
There was a point where I was like really dismissive of a lot of the UFO stuff and everything. And nowadays I'm just like, eh, weirder shit is like other shit is weirder. Like, it doesn't seem weird and fringe to me anymore. Flat earthers are weird and fringe.
I like flat earthers fighting hollow earthers, and then when you get them both mad by saying Earth is a pita. But no, like I'll just have to say at this point, like if UFOs are coming to Earth, they're a bunch of fucking disaster tourists. Mm-hmm. At this point, they're like, and it's like white people that take an airplane flight over the Bahamas to see the destruction. There you come to the U.S. and be like, look at all these humans fucking their planet up. This is hilarious.
Yeah, we're like an ant farm for them.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, look at how mean they fucking are. Or it could be like in the culture novels where Earth is kept as a control. Like, all this cool shit.
The thing of what not to do?
Well, no. The culture keeps the Earth isolated and as a control unit because, like, they go around and they elevate races and give them interstellar travel and make it so that they functionally never have to die if they become part of the culture. And so, like, all the books take place before the 1800s on Earth or something like that, but they keep Earth as a, let's see how this race will evolve without us messing with them, and they get us. So it's like all these fantastical stories of science fiction and cool societies and all this other stuff, and then it's like, well, Earth.
Earth.
We're going to leave them alone because we're just going to watch them from afar. Ian M. Banks, those are pretty good books. I did also see a really good Twitter display name the other day. I think it was like Griffiny or something as their user ID, but their display name was E&M Banks Cancel Culture.
Oh, Cancel Culture.
Yeah. Right,
yes.
Then there was the other one from the screen cap dragon I posted today, and Cultural Marxism and right. Culture. Right. I thought it was funny.
Sorry, I was in the middle of typing something. Can you repeat it?
And Cultural Marxism.
Oh,
cultural Marxism.
Oh, right, and cultural Marx. Gotcha. Okay,
yeah. Mocking I didn't two hear jokes. You for a second.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was like, I think I'm tired.
It has been a pretty long week. I do have some fun gaming stuff to talk about. Final Fantasy 14 continues to be good, so I'm not gonna have to talk about that. Didn't the new Worgen models and the new Goblin models drop in WoW? The sexier werewolves.
Maybe I don't play Alliance, so I. Only play a little bit of attention to those.
Okay. They didn't give them tails, but they made it so that the girl Worgens are no longer scary chihuahuas.
Yes. Thank God. Whenever I rolled an Alliance character and did a Worgen, I always played a male Worgen because I could not stand the female's facial disaster.
Yeah, they were like they constantly were. Snarling.
And the thing is if you look at the artwork before, because that's not the first revision of it. The first revision that they originally started out with looked a lot better. And then they overhauled it to the awful snarly thing that they ended up doing. And it looked god-awful. And shortly after they got released, there was all this like artwork suggesting partial, you know, just move the skinning a little bit this way and it would look so much better. And Blizzard did nothing. It's taken how many years? When did Worgens come out?
They came out in Cataclysm.
Has it been Cata, really?
Yeah. So it's the third expansion to WoW.
It took them this long to fix their disaster?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they hadn't really added a race except for pandas.
Yeah, true.
And then in the intervening time, they added like the race variants, but even then, that was just like a reskin.
Yeah.
So... I mean, like, they did reskin, like, they did the Blood Elves and the Draenei, like, last one. Mm-hmm. So it was time for them to update the next races.
I mean, I tend to play female characters with very few exceptions. I've got a male paladin, but that's... Well, I guess my DK is also a male, but that's... I wanted to play a tank, and when I play tanks, I like... the biggest, most visible character, which is a male Tauren, because they're easy to follow. Go chase the big giant one, and right now,
makes sense.
Yeah,
my bear. I used this in a last expansion. You could get like all kinds of skins for your druid bear, and I used the bright purple with orange highlights because I show up almost against any background.
You're the high vis bear.
Yes, I'm the high visibility bear.
Pay attention to me. Rawr.
Yeah, so you can find me wherever I go. And like in Ulduar, where everything was gray, and I was usually played a black Tauren, so I was a very dark brown, almost black bear. Ulduar is very dark. It's all very blacks and grays, and you had a hard time seeing me. So I actually paid back then to change to play a white bear so you could fucking see me.
Yeah. I have that problem all the time with, like, Lalafell tanks in Final Fantasy. They're the short, small race. And it's like, I think it's hilarious when it's this tiny little thing, you know, wielding a broadsword bigger than it is and... whacking a giant in the balls, but good it's also hard them. To keep track of where they're running.
And goblin tanks are the same problem, so do, what is it, gnomes?
Gnomes, yeah.
Gnomes. I mean, you just can't see them. And that's great if you're a DPS, kind of, but if you're a tank, you want to see where the tank is so you can do whatever you're supposed to do when you're positioned relationship to them.
Yeah. That's good in WoW that they're adding some new... They're updating their graphics, because, I mean, that game is from 2004... And, like, there were...
playing classic.
There's still, like, lurking old models in the wild.
You played classic back in the day, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's just...
I still have my original box.
So I've been playing classic and just seeing all, both of my own guildies and, like, people out in the world. It's like, I mean, do we ever get this? It's like, no, dude. No. Hmm. It's like, I can't take more than one, maybe two mobs if I blow all my cooldowns and then I'll be probably almost dead. It's like, yep. There's been a lot of discussion about, wow, you have to group up to do things. You have to communicate. And there's been, people are kind of like, wow, here's the kind of social aspect of the game that I've been missing. Because you can just go out and blow the doors off of everything in the current retail game. And you can't do that back in the day. So people are like, wow, people will happily group with me. There's cooperation. It's like, yeah, this is what a lot of the old timers have been complaining has been shaved off over time. And of course, the channels are now back to full of looking for group spam.
Can someone help me find Mankirk's wife? Where is she?
Yes. Doing what we did, Razor Fens, the lower one, down? Oh my god, that was so hard because everything fucking runs at low level. And they run into another pack of mobs and
Oh, and then a dipshit fell into the pit.
Yep.
And they, oh god, do they still have the pathing issues with pets?
Yep.
Or like, if your pet paths off, then falls off, it will then run back to you and drag everything behind it to you?
It's pretty stock to the original.
Yeah, or like if you accidentally tab target and hits and target something below you and axe somehow can hit it, and then suddenly everything from between it and you are there.
See, I'm playing a hunter because back in the day I played a Resto Shami which when you get to max level you can't really do anything with solo. You can't kill anything, or you can, it takes you like 5 minutes.
You'll be reapplying Flame Shock multiple times.
Pretty much, but it's not worth. So my do everything else alt was always a hunter, and whatever I've made, my alt has always been a hunter because it's either been a tank or a healer the entire time I played WoW. So my go out and do shit solo stuff was a hunter. So I have played hunter from the year dot all the way up. I probably know it as well as any of the other classes that I've made, just from spending as much time in there. So people are like, oh my god, you've got quivers again. And I'm like, yep, I remember this from the first time. I know exactly what I'm getting into. But other people are like, man, I have to carry water and food, and I have to feed my pet, and I have to train it, and I've got one less extra bag because I've got a quiver. It's like, yep.
Welcome to the bad old days.
No, I mean, it is... I guess it's just kind of like, yeah, this is the way it is, so I appreciate the improvements, but I'm also not surprised by the difficulties. I've been liking it. I just haven't had any chance to play it in like a week because of just the set and the other thing.
Well, my fun thing is that Gen 5 is out in Pokemon Go, so that's been interesting because we're now in the weeds where I have no real recollection of the Pokemon that are in a given generation, so I'm like... What's the cute Pokemon that I've seen in porn? I don't recognize many of these things, huh? So that's fun. Like, one of the real common ones, this cute little Yorkie-looking dog that becomes a slightly larger Yorkie-looking dog. There's pigeons. There's the rats. It's apparently this region was the one that's themed after America, which is where there's, like, the garbage bag Pokemon and other such ones like that. The Rattata analog in this one is, like, an electric rat that has... Its evolved form has, like, a high-vis vest marking on it that lights up when it attacks. Like, it's the weird, we're going to theme this over vaguely American stuff. It's been neat to see. It's new Pokemon, but then you also have the realization there's 5 generations of Pokemon fighting for spawn points. So you're getting, like, a teeny, 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 tiny amount of what you actually want to see new, and then a bunch of the same old shit. The other thing that's new is that the Apple Arcade launched today on iPhone, and I was able to download a few games before I got here and give them some shots. So it's like, it's $5 a month, it's a free month to start, and it just lets you download a bunch of, there's like 100 games available to start. And like, some of them are iOS exclusive, some of them are just like...
Is this a paid service?
Or? Yeah, it's a paid service. It's no different than paying for like Origin All Access or Ubisoft All Access, where like you pay them and that gets you access to their backlog of older games and sometimes new games. Like Xbox has the Xbox Game Pass, where you spend $15 a month and it gives you access to a large selection of games that you can play, download and play whatever, as long as you're paying your monthly fee. It's like Netflix for video games, except you download the games.
Right. And this is part of Apple trying to push the iPhone as a gaming platform.
Yeah. And as such, they've added a lot of... They got a lot of support initially, so they've got a ton of games. One game that I've been looking at for a long time called Overland.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strategy, post-apocalyptic strategy title where you're trying to get from one place on the West Coast to the East Coast, U.S. or something like that, where you're trying to reach humanity and there's bug monsters that come out of the ground and you have to, like, take your dudes and, like, other survivors and or a dog and scavenge, get fuel, fight the bugs, get back in your car and escape to get to the next spot where you have to forage for food and gas and stuff. And that's been in production for a long time. I remember playing it back at HavenCon.
Oh, wow.
Like the first couple. So it's been in development a while and it finally came out.
Yeah.
It launched on like PC and stuff, but it's available in Apple Arcade. So you can play that a version of the game on there.
I'm not surprised at all that it has, that Apple Arcade launched with a lot of games and support, because I know of all the video game type companies out there, Apple has the infrastructure to like not half-ass something.
Yeah, there's another one called Jenny LeClue, which is a cute little mystery platformer game. I think Panther kickstarted it. He was very excited that it was coming to Apple Arcade. Then I was enjoying a really good puzzle game called Grindstone, where you have to like path your dude around killing monsters without like ending in a spot where you get hit by a monster. It's no different than like a gym matching game, except it's wrapped around like you're this big barbarian guy and you like slice through these little monsters who are all like, ah! So it has very like Cartoon Network-y look to it. They explode into gore and cubes whenever you chop through them with your broadsword.
Neat.
That one's been really cute. And these are games that launched. Like there's a 2D skateboard named like Skate City. There is a game from, I think it's Square Enix, called Various Daylife, which is some like Japanese-made life sim game. But the artist that did it, I think, is the one that has worked on a bunch of other Square Enix properties in the past. So it has this, let's see, Doki Doki Grooveworks is the name of the company. Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Like, it shows me this, like, bunny girl-looking character and then a bunch of Asian. There's Chinese. There's, like, simplified Chinese, full Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and then American English. American English, British English, and Australian English are the three after that. Then it covers like Russians, French, etc. So I was like, oh, this game looks interesting. It looks like some sort of weird anime-ass thing. Because like a lot of the stuff that they have in the game store is very Western indie-looking games.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a bad thing, but they have a very somewhat similar art style for a lot of it. But Various Daylife, and it is a Square Enix game. I was right. And even the font treatment looks like Bravely Default's font treatment, which was a strategy-ish RPG game that came out a few years ago. So I'll have to look at that in a bit. But there's a lot of neat games to start. It's like a free first month. And if you play games on your phone while waiting for shit, it's a good way to try about a bunch of different stuff you might not... You wouldn't have looked at otherwise. Like, Grindstone, I would have looked at that and been like, that's cute, seen like a $5 price tag on it, and because people don't value phone games, wouldn't have messed with it probably. But if I pay $5 a month to try out all these other things, there's like the mental difference, even though you end up paying more money over time. So if I'm paying $60 a year for Apple Arcade, you know, but then I end up playing like a dozen games or whatever, it's like paying $5 a piece. And it's not a big deal. And with these, like, I can definitely try, and if I don't like them, it's not like I'm out a bunch of money. So that's fun. So after a brief break, we're back. I had to stop and shave and get some new coals and all that fun stuff. But we do have one thing that happened this week that we haven't touched on that is very much in our wheelhouse. Unfortunately, this thing is a shitty gay grifter who has failed everywhere else he's tried to stick his nose into and figured that, well, I'm gonna show up at a furry con. And this is, of course, we're talking about Milo Yana Banana, the shitty queer who figures, well, if he's gonna be the last one at the camps, he'll just go ahead and do that, because he's been thrown aside as the as not being useful multiple times at this point, and yet he's still grifting. He's been banned from multiple platforms. He's banned from Facebook, banned from Twitter, and like was bitching about how, oh, you know, I can't make money doing this. I mean, it's only a grift for him.
He's like $4 million in debt, I
Something think. Like that, you know, and this is very well publicized and known. And so he decided that, well, I know what, furries have lots of money, so I'm going to buy a ticket to go to MFF.
And everyone, the $400 shiny sponsor ticket.
You know, in like, he was really embracing that aspect of furry culture of having no money and then spending it all at a FurCon somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But MFF was like, yeah, no, you're not going to come. And of course, this spiraled into, well, fuck you, I'm going to come. And the and people being like, no, you're not. And now there's like the Proud Boys saying they're going to come and cause shit. And I'm like, do you guys really want to do this in Chicago? Like, MFF's 3 months away, and they already have, like, there was an account called Deep Dish Antifa, who were like, yo, we'll come out and fuck with the Plow Boys, and I'm like, wow, they're gonna make this into a goddamn spectacle. Now, the odds are it'll all fade away and not be interesting in 3 months' time, but mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't want to be in the shoes of MFF's security team and really? Having to coordinate with the Chicago PD and the hotel security and making sure that these people aren't fucking up people at their hotel or around the con.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is, I mean, it's better than nothing if that they're announcing their intentions so far in advance that they can, like, get extra security on hand, but damn, I would not want to be in the shoes of MFF at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's so...
Yeah.
It literally is like, we're gonna fuck with the queers. It literally is that. And they do it to piss people off and make people upset. I've seen a lot of people, like, and this is something you retweeted, like, people really immediately started punching MFF in the balls because they didn't immediately have a statement ready.
Also, before that even, there was people who were like, how dare MFF let this person register? Like, this is a 10,000 attendee event. Like, they're not watching the Reg database every hour of every day. And this guy's not a furry. He's not on their radar at all. It's an automated system. I mean,
it's not like they have anyone with, I cannot say his last name, is immediately flagged.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Yiannopoulos or something like that, but
yeah,
saying his name is too much respect for him. So this dude decided, like, he's turning it into a little circus around himself, and he immediately tried to turn it into a grift. Like, he immediately was like, give me $350 and I'll get you this shiny thing that's been signed by me. And
really?
Like, he's trying to court the alt-furry contingent.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it seems like such a bizarre thing to try to find money in. It's like, yeah, furries have money in general, but most furries are left and are certainly not going to be giving a shitty, washed up,
Breitbart has been
money. It's just the weirdest thing. But like, on the registration point, it's like, it takes a second to write up a response and deal with that. Because, like, he immediately went to threats. Like, well, I'll just show up anyway. Fuck you. I've got two rooms. And, like, no, you didn't. Nobody has a room at MFF. You all have to, like, teleport there and teleport home. Rooms don't exist. You did not get two rooms in the room lottery, you dumb fucker. Like, odds are he'll ghost it and still, like, try to, and it'll still cause some havoc because everyone will be on edge. I mean, again, that's like assuming that people still remember it's going to be a deal. Like, the con will definitely remember it's a deal.
Yeah.
But the average, like, John Q. Furry is not going to be like, have that in the forefront of their mind over the weekend. With a con of that size, I mean, like, consider Fiesta is only like a little over 4,000, going to hit 5 maybe next year. And it still takes us a little bit to get a hold of, to just to like make a statement, to be like, all right, this thing has occurred. Give us a second. Like, hell, even with Nightmare Nights, and that was like, it peaked at 1,900 people. If a name came across our registration thing, like, yeah, it was a lot easier to watch the registration because you get like 4 or 5 badges sold in a day during the early parts. But like, when you towards the end, you were getting like 50, 60 names a day, families buying entire things. And by nature of our reg system, like not all names are displayed.
Yeah.
If they're purchased in a batch order, the kid badges didn't require a name on them because we don't need that information. We want the person who's going to show us their ID to give us their badge or past tense, you know. So when a name pops up in the system, unless like it's a super well-known bad faith actor that wasn't already pre-banned, there's really not much you could do. And like if he just shown the fuck up and paid cash at the door, like he would have shown up and be like, oh, I'm at the furry con and there are a bunch of degenerate queers. Well, yeah, guess what? And you still paid us money to be there, but he wouldn't have gotten the media circus out of it. Like he gets attention, but it doesn't help him in the long run because it just puts everybody on alert. And honestly, seeing Proud Boys get their ass kicked by people in fursuit would be hilarious. Some furry anti-fascists show up with some baseball bats and they just start whacking dudes. That'd be hilarious. I would encourage it. Just make sure it's not the hotel property. And the other thing that really bugs me, though, is the people that are like dismissing it as drama. Like, no, drama is someone being mad that the fursuit looks pretty close, even though they're from separate designers. Drama is like these two people broke up because they were both sleeping with the same slutty fox and couldn't agree on a polycule. This is like, oh, this is actually like a security threat that actually threatens the safety of people. Like, especially with his buddies coming along as a threat. And it's like, no, that's something to be treated seriously. Basically, the TLDR. I don't want to be them.
Yeah. I was at a con once, actually last year, that had a protest at it. I talked about this on the show at the time, but WorldCon had... he goes by the name Vox Day.
That dude, the sad puppies fucker.
Yeah, he's one of the sad slash rabid puppies people that thinks that the Hugos are...
SJW.
That they're too diverse and that too many of the women folk are taking home awards and too many minorities.
Don't you know, Fuzz, there's only two genders, man and political.
Fuck, I had not heard that before. That's bad.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, and it turned out to be like 10 people, and they had the piss fortune of standing to protest in a location where the blood bank truck pulled up. So for people on the outside just passing by, it looked like they were protesting the blood drive. But Worldcon took it seriously. They're like, they're going to be here between these hours, and they have a permit and whatnot, so look for our security people who will be in bright red shirt. If you're concerned, we'll escort you, you know, from the convention center to your vehicle and things like that. And it turned out to basically be a huge nothing burger.
But it was good that they took the effort to address it.
Yes. They absolutely did. But it's just... fucking right-wing chuds. Just fuck them all.
We're going to get money from the furries, or we're going to upset the furries. Well, either way, you're going to have to deal with our internal security and the cops. So,
yeah.
It's like, do you really think this is going to go good for you?
My other brief brush with right-wing protesters was when we went to the Lady Gaga show that was the night before Fertig Confusion. And so they're all... it was a very anti-gay group because Lady Gaga has a large queer fan base. So, of course, I took the opportunity to kiss my husband full on the mouth right in front of them.
Like nice. You do.
Yep. And, that was also nothing because, like, the show went on just fine. And I'm sure Lady Gaga has had people more protesting at her shows before.
Yeah.
And her security and venue security know how to deal with that horseshit.
Anytime this kind of stuff happens, I remember back in the day when Kevin Smith joined the protest against Dogma.
Yes.
In Jersey, he showed up and was like, yeah, this movie is fucking terrible. And I made it, I would know.
And he was interviewed by the local news. And he kept dodging the question of who he was because, like, the fucking reporter did a double take after talking to him for a minute. And he was like, wait, aren't you? He's like, oh, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, I'm Seven Kith.
And he said, I think it was him and Scott Mosier
It was either him and Scott or it was him and Jay that went out there to protest. And something that he noted was that their homemade signs looked way better than the homemade signs that the protesters had. And that seemed to insult him the most. He's like, come on, guys, put a little fucking effort into it. He was like, one was like a cardboard sign that just had marker written on it. And it was just, dogma is bad.
And he's like, you don't have to tell me that.
And another one said, dogma is dogma is dog shit. And the protesters got mad at him because he used profanity on his sign.
Oh, I don't know there, man. You kind of used a swear.
Yeah. The religious right-wing people get really upset about dirty language, like, more than anything else.
Yeah, the other thing I remember was related to protesters and stuff was way back in the day when they did, EA did a Dante's Inferno-themed action game.
Uh-huh.
Where they went all edgelordy. It's like, it's playing through Dante's Inferno as envisioned as, like, a hack and slash game. And, like, Satan's got his dick out and all that fun stuff. There's, like, vagina monsters, and it's all gory and gross. But when they were doing the reveal at E3 paid people to fake anti-game protest it with, like, Jesus-y signs to, like, make it more legit. And that was, like, a big... It was like sort of a quasi-scandal because people were like, that's really lame. You couldn't like piss off some real Christians to do it. You had to pay actors. But I mean, at least if they paid for it, then they stayed on message.
Right.
But that was also back in the day when like stupid gimmicky bullshit like that happened all the time. Like they did things where like they sent people checks because it was like the other thing was like the seven deadly sins and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So like this is the thing of greed and like. There was another game where, like, they sent brass knuckles in the mail, which is, like, a crime.
Oh, no.
And so, like, back in the day, it was a wild fucking west of sending out promotional bullshit. But I just remember the fake protesters for the Dante's Inferno game being one of those,
honestly,
like...
Honestly, a journey through Dante's Inferno is a really neat concept for a video game.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, it wasn't even, like, that bad of a game, apparently. And, like, it had a direct-to-video quasi-anime show. It was a thing for a little bit, but there was so much weirdness around it, it kind of overshadowed.
Right.
But that was, like, back on the Xbox 360, so, like, 06, 08 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, you know, 2006, that was only 13 years ago.
Time, it keeps happening.
Time, everything happens so much.
I refuse to believe that 1999 was 20 years ago.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's it, guys. We are old. Sorry.
Speaking of which, I'm kind of curious about this new Matrix movie. Because it's, you know, obviously it's the 20th anniversary of the Matrix because it came out in 99. But they're making a fourth one, and Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss are already on board. So that's Neo and Trinity. I don't know if they're bringing other characters back or not. I don't know where they're going with the plot or anything, but...
But the Wachowski sisters are doing another one. I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it.
One of them is involved. One of them is doing something with it. So, yeah. I think the other one's busy with another project of her own. So.
That might be cool.
You know, maybe they can actually get more overt, like transness into like, the story at this point.
It's like the Garth Marenghi. It's like, I don't trust authors who use subtext. Cowards, all of them.
Just, well, I mean, honestly, like, this was like some of the criticism of Doctor Who last season being like, quote unquote, too political. But the thing is, it's like all this time, like there's been subtext and narrative has always been there in Doctor Who. But people that didn't want to see it didn't see it. Because it was, I guess it was too subtle, even the shit that you think clearly isn't. And this past season was not fucking subtle at all. And maybe it's about time that shit just needs to be in people's face.
It's like, okay, we tried being quiet about this. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna, like, flop it out there, because come on.
Like, I just retweeted that four screen cap tweet thread that Dio retweeted where it was like a screen cap from like an I guess a Japanese video game.
Yeah, actually, let me...
Yeah, and the character is saying something about the LGBT community being full of creativity and stuff. And it goes on to this discussion of like, well, I'm sure the Japanese creator doesn't really know what LGBT means. And like, it's not referring to people that are actually gay or transgender. And
it's like a group just that's like, funded by the rich.
Yeah, and it's like people will... really work hard to keep their head in the sand if they
it's like they literally just put it in there like the LGBT community is rich in sensibility, has excellent taste, and is full of talented artistic people, says the character in the game in the Japanese, like it's like Somnus AI Stories, I think it is, and it's just in there and people are trying to be like, oh, it's it means something else. It's literally there in plain text,
you know
what he thinks about queer people.
Honestly, I hope the fourth Matrix film is just called The Matrix Transitions and everybody is trans.
Yeah. It's like, you know, people go into the goo pods and they can live their idealized life.
Yeah. And it's
like they've come to a deal with the robots. And yeah. Like, oh, like, I can go into the goo pod and be a cat girl? Hell yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome if it's just a fucking 100% cyberpunk trans fest.
Yeah.
I'd see that.
No, so actually, speaking of cyberpunk and Keanu Reeves, it came out here a little bit ago. So the game is trending towards the good. I'm now interested in it again, like they've
cyberpunk
2077, but they've said no, you can't romance Keanu Reeves, and this upset people.
Yeah,
Keanu Reeves is a cyber ghost. You cannot fuck the cyber ghost.
Oh man! Well, you better be able to pet the dog if you can't romance the cyber ghost.
Yeah, they'd better have petable dogs, petable cyber dogs.
Damn right! Like in Battle Angel Alita, you had the one dude that had the cybernetic dogs. Yeah, which I think we talked about that on the show, but we actually enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
we didn't do a Fox Wolf movie time on it, I don't think, but
yeah.
We did enjoy it. Yeah, it was fun.
We
just
watched it because we wanted to watch it late one night. And yeah, I think we talked about it on a main episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I was also like, I said it was good and it had this weird contingent of fixated people like interacting with me about it. And I'm like, go away, you weebs.
Yeah, because at the time, it came out at the same time Captain Marvel did.
And, yeah, and they tried to turn it into a culture war thing.
Capital G gamer chuds wanted to really shit on Captain Marvel, but this other movie came out that also had a female lead, so they were all like, I'm going to go see Battle Angel Alita instead. And it's like, that movie didn't fucking ask for that shit. You know, like that wasn't their narrative or anything.
No, they were like, I wanted to make this movie for literally 20 years.
Yeah.
Because James Cameron wanted to do it in the 90s and it would have looked really, really weird.
Yeah.
But they actually made it look pretty damn close to what it looked like. Was it
Robert Rodriguez or the director?
I think it was James Cameron was involved.
Yeah. He might have exec produced it or something. My phone's updating right now, so I can't look.
Yeah. And clearly my phone is listening because I typed in B-A-T, and my phone's like, oh, did you mean Battle Angel Alita?
Oh, my God. No, I meant bats being petted, because those are always cute videos to watch.
Yeah, so it was directed by Robert Rodriguez. James Cameron co-produced it and co-wrote the script.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, speaking of James Cameron, I've probably mentioned this before, too. Also interested in Terminator Dark Fate.
Yeah.
Because Cameron's on board. They were his characters originally. And just bringing Linda Hamilton back as Sarah Connor, that's awesome. Apparently Edward Furlong is also going to be in it. Part of my problem with the Terminator films, especially the later ones, is that John Connor is played by a different actor in every film.
Every single film, yeah.
Yeah, and the only film that you actually give a shit about John Connor is Terminator 2. And so to actually bring back that actor to play him again, I think will be good. But it looks like they've got some neat new characters as well. So it looks good. And I'm really curious what role Arnold Schwarzenegger is playing in it, because he looks as he does now. And, you know, they had like a time travel-y reason for a Terminator to look older in the last movie, Genesis. But I'm wondering if, like, is he a human that is, like, one of the people behind the Terminator program? Or is he another Terminator that got sent further back in time that's on their side. And the trailers have been really, really good about not revealing anything. Like, there's no scene of him with, like, the eye ripped off and the red eye glowing underneath or anything like that. So I'm really curious what character Arnie is going to be playing this time.
So, like, the unfortunate thing looking at the Wikipedia article for this is that it basically broke even at maybe at best.
Oh,
at
Alita? Imagine,
yeah, it only broke even based on the
I would say it was a strategic misfire to be out either the weekend of or the weekend after Captain Marvel, because it's a Marvel movie. You know it's going to be huge.
I type in Captain, and my phone's like, oh, I heard the words Captain Marvel, so it fucking just... This is creepy, man.
Yeah.
The Cyberpunk feature is weird. My phone's listening to me.
Yeah.
Hot Fox Boys. No.
Deliver them to me now, phone.
Hot singles are in your area. Hot singles are closing fast. Hot singles are in the air vents.
And now I'm thinking of that scene from the second Aliens movie where, like, they peek up into the air vents and instead of the xenomorph, it's just hot singles clambering over the grating. Mm-hmm.
ASL. ASL.
American Sign Language.
Yes. And the other thing about it being up against Captain Marvel, it had roughly the same budget, but the box office was like $1.1 billion for Captain Marvel.
Right, yeah.
So Captain Marvel made money, and I was like, say that with quotation fingers because Hollywood accounting is nuts. But yeah. So I accidentally stepped into a culture war I vaguely remembered but had forgotten completely about.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
so stupid, you literally just your brain discarded it as
yeah, useless was information. Like, oh yeah, people are mad about this for some reason? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're both fine movies. Like, I could guarantee you that if I had said, Battle Angel Alita was good, but I like Captain Marvel better.
You would have had a whole different response.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I was like, that movie was wild. It was pretty cool. And I got weird approving likes. But that is neither here nor there. All that says is that Twitter is a terrible place.
Yeah.
So, at this point, we're an hour 20 on the raw recording, and there's some gaps of silence where I have to cut it out where we're, like, looking at our phones trying to find an answer or something, but we should probably wrap it up because it is already 10 o'clock at night. Mm. We did get an email. We're going to have to, like, cut that down and read it next time. Sorry about that. But we do accept emails. It's just, it's really late already, and I need to edit this. So,
yes.
You can always contact us, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. You can find us on Twitter at southpawcast. Like, we're not really using the Tumblr anymore, but it's still there.
Yeah, it just auto-posts everything that you put out on the feed. But we can get...
Anonymous asks
through it, yeah.
So. The other thing is you can find me on twitter.com at SavrinDrake. On Twitch at Savrin and Savrin at Snouts.online on Mastodon.
You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. You can go to fuzzwolf.com to find links to all of my other bullshits. Buy books, etc. Next con is ACFI, so if you're going to be there, come That's and shop at the For Planet table.
2 weeks away, actually.
Oh, God. Is that close already?
Well, it's like, it's the 4th through the 6th of October. It's already the 20th, or the
19th. It is, yeah, it is. So actually, yeah, 2 weeks from now will be Thursday. We'll be on that Thursday. We probably won't record, because you'll be already in San Antonio setting up.
Yeah. Well, I'll bring my stuff, and maybe I'll just record something with Ajax and That'd whoever else fun, is down actually. There.
Yeah.
Be like, our travelogue, and we went to Bucky's. We went to all the Bucky's between here and San Antonio. There are like three, but there are way stations. We must stop at the Altar of the Beaver.
Yes.
And they have seasonal Bucky's shirts now. There's one that's there's the Beaver logo, but it's a ghost. And I'm like, it's Bucky's.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, God. I saw a woman wearing that, and I'm like, that's terrible, but also, damn, I kind of want it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, why does this damn beaver logo entice me? I am not a walking billboard, and yet I am not immune to propaganda.
Nope.
And neither are you. So, Shiva, you're not on social media. You have freed yourself of that shackles.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness for that.
You can find us at find us in our chat, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we're all in there.
Yeah, you can ping us on Telegram at pretty much the same username as our Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
My Twitter account and Shiva's former Twitter account.
Yeah, and not mine.
Yeah.
Just start typing at fuzz and it'll autofill.
And we can get you a join link. So, yeah. We're going to wrap it up for this point because it is 10 o'clock and I got a lot of editing to do. So on that note, good night.
And big books.